I guess all of you noticed or heard that President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize. And this was voted on, I want you to know, on February the 9th. He really hadn't even been inaugurated as president long enough to do anything. He did make a statement that he didn't feel worthy to be counted among those people that had won the Nobel Prize. And I'm not here to be critical of him, but I did hear one commentator. No, I read it. I read where one commentator had written about all the people that had won the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, and the things they'd done, the sacrifices they made. And his closing statement is, why don't we take Obama at his word when he says he wasn't worthy? Why don't we just take him at his word? I thought, that man's got a thought that I don't think about, you know, over there. But I'm not critical of it. But let me tell you what this has done. This has put him in a position to where he cannot declare anything against Iran. He cannot win the war in Iraq. He cannot send more troops to Afghanistan because he's been declared a man of peace. And when he himself says that the greatest conflict there is between the Palestinians and the Jews, he cannot identify with Israel. And whenever America turns her back on Israel, we no longer live underneath the umbrella of the protection that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed.
Right.
And those days are upon us. And the U.S. has got giant bunker buster bombs now, but they won't get permission from America to use them. When you heard in the paper an announcement this morning that the Taliban in Pakistan invaded one of the military headquarters, let me tell you, folks, they were very close to the place where they keep the atomic weapons. And if they have atomic weapons, they will use them.
Sure.
Because their belief is that they've got a leader coming back, the 12th one. And the prophecy is that he won't come on the scene until the world is in a state of chaos.
Right.
And so they want chaotic things to happen. And they are fulfilling their belief.
Right.
And the more chaotic they can make it, the quicker their iman will come back.
Yeah.
It's dangerous times. The only thing we can have peace in is that we're promised that before that real tribulation comes, just as Joseph dismissed his Gentile bride and revealed himself to his brethren, it will occur.
Amen. Yes, it will.
So, whenever Brother Branham makes a statement that we're living in those days, and we read what he has to say about the second coming, and I said last Sunday that I believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I speak on these subjects of clarification, I think one of the major things that I'd like to see the people this message believe is to believe what Brother Branham said about the three comings of the Lord.
Yes.
You can give some people the quote that Brother Branham said from 47 to 65. And he hardly changes the wording on it about there's three comings of the Lord.
Amen.
The first one to redeem us, the second one to come after us, and the third one to come back with us. And if you don't keep that mathematics straight, you get things out of order.
Amen.
I can show you where Brother Branham says that. But from the 40s to the end of Brother Branham's ministry, and by the way, he talks about he's looking for the coming of the Lord 43 times after he preaches the seals.
Amen.
So that for somebody to tell me that the Lord came in 63 and that the seventh seal, which he said was the coming of the Lord, had been fulfilled, I just have to stand and say, what are you listening to? Where have you heard this?
Yeah. Right.
When they start telling you, well, the second one, there are only two comings and the second one's almost past. And I'm not being critical. I'm just confused by that.
Right.
I don't know how they can say they believe every word of Brother Branham's message. I think we just need to stay humble, live a simple Christian life, and love one another, love the Lord, live a holy, clean life, and let God bring these things to pass.
Amen.
And when we get this clarification, and remember, I didn't start this to restore things because I didn't bring anything to start it off with. In fact, Brother Branham, when the Scripture talks about in Matthew that Elijah truly shall come and restore all things, it means to correct those things that have gone off into error. It's a time of restitution. Like Peter talked in Acts 3:21. And I'm not here to restore, but I feel to not correct, but to clarify some things. That people have got an idea somewhere from somebody, because Brother Bram said this or this to them, and they don't take all that he said, and they got out of balance with it. I believe that if we can remember that there were three comings, and that Brother Bram said that Israel was God's timepiece. You want to know what time it is? Look at Israel. I think then when we look at current events, we can see that even this thing of the lesbian treaty, and I hope Brother Bernard will talk with us about it tonight, that now we have the United States of Europe, the Holy Roman Empire. And then when Brother Bram talks about the coming of the Lord, if you read the quotes, you have to know that we will see each other before we see Him. There's got to be a resurrection. And Brother Bram says that resurrection, he believes, will happen in the spring. And that way then you can keep things straight and in order. Let me get into the quotes of this by reading you one quote that Brother Bram brings. And it's quote number one back there, brothers. It's on in the message, Three Kinds of Believers in Jeffersonville in 1963. And I say this not to harp on it, but it's November the 24th after Brother Bram preached the seals, which he preached in 63. Now, that's the reason I do believe that when that bride is called out and elected and set in the book of life, there will come a sound from heaven that'll take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that'll take her from the earth in a rapturing grace. God promised it. I don't care how many science or how many astronauts they sign up and everything else and how many million miles they can see. I don't care nothing about that. There is a heaven and there is a literal Jesus Christ. Can I get one amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He said, I go away to prepare a place that where I am, there you can come.
Amen.
I stood on the Mount of Olives 2 weeks ago and just the same place, my feet stand on the same ground, the same rocks, and there's a place there called the Rock of Ascension, and there was two men standing there, and the Bible identified them in Acts 1:11 as angels, said, why are you standing here looking up?
That's right, amen.
The same Jesus that goes away.
Yeah.
He's going to come back again.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know where Brother Branham ever changed that. I don't know where the Scripture ever changed it. That's what Paul and Peter and all those in the Bible we're looking for.
Right.
That same Jesus that went away shall come again.
Amen.
In like manner. There they will come in a body form to receive His church to Himself. And Brother Bram said, no matter how old the story seems, it's still the truth.
Yes. Amen.
God said so.
Amen.
Now here's what that's what believers believe.
Amen.
How many of you are believers?
Amen.
Well then, what are all these people who believe something else? If I didn't believe that, I'd be concerned about myself.
Come on.
That's what believers believe. Now, if you believe in what Brother Branham called the second coming, and I can show you a number of quotes where he called it rapture, which is a word not even used in the Bible, but it means a state of ecstasy, a catching away. And to have that, there's got to be a resurrection of those which are asleep in Christ.
Yes.
There's got to be a resurrection. And Brother Bram talks about, we'll be standing there someday and hey, well, there's Brother so-and-so.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you'll see them going on, and you'll be waiting there, and then there'll come a change, and you'll join them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hold on.
Why are people willing to accept something that you can just spiritualize? Because somebody else said it. I have not heard one case of any believer in this message anywhere in the world seeing their loved ones raised from the dead. But just as real as it was on the rapture tape, when Brother Branham talked about it from Matthew 27 of Abraham and Sarah coming there and walking the street, and somebody sitting around, and Abraham said, "We got to go, Sarah. They see us." How many of you can believe that today?
Amen.
If that is not correct, then Brother Branham taught me wrong. I'm looking for the resurrection.
Yes,
I look for it in the spring.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now there's a lot of people talk about 6 to 9 in the morning. But I believe there's going to be a resurrection of those which are asleep in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I also believe there's going to be an earthquake.
Yes.
At the time of that resurrection. I believe it's going to change this world.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah talked about it. Rocking and reeling like a drunk man, staggering. The world's going to be changed. Brother Bram talks about everything that will be shook down is going to be shaken down.
Yes.
He didn't say shaken. That wasn't any point. Shook down. The rapture is also going to be sudden and secret. Not going to be a progressive thing where you get better and better and better and better. There's going to be something physically, literally happen.
Amen.
Now, you can say, Brother Branham says it's already taken place. Yes, he did, by faith. But just as Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, there still had to come
right.
That day on Calvary.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
And if he had not done that day on Calvary, God's word and spirit of prophecy would have been broken. And if there is not a literal Jesus Christ and a resurrection of the dead in Christ, and we're not changed and translated, then the word of prophecy has been broken, and God is not God.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Right.
Amen. Well, that one gets out that I said it. I also believe there's going to be an adoption of people.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be a change in us spiritually. God help us to get our eyes off of popularity and what people are saying and thinking. And I think that's the only reason the devil has brought the confusion is to keep us from being the simplicity of the catching away of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of quotes of Brother Branham, if you don't think this subject's important. Quote number 2 and 3 back there, brothers. Brother Branham said that Jesus spoke about this 80% of the more than he did anything else. Now, listen to this moment. Can you think of an event that's happened in this world that was more important up to this time than the one when a virgin shall conceive? He shall come. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. He shall be called Mighty God. The birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God, the Spirit, the Creator, becoming like us in flesh. What an event! That was the first coming. And we know the Bible talks about over 700 prophecies in the Old Testament. But Brother Branham makes this statement. He taught more of his second coming than he did of his going away then. Read the Scriptures. Find out how much he talked of his second coming. Better than 80% of his talk was on his second coming. Not what was then, his sacrifice and the going away, but the second coming. While he was here, himself in the flesh, God manifested in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Paying the sin and redeeming us from our sin by the cleansing of his blood. While he was here, he spoke more about the event that we're living in.
Amen.
than the one in the curtain. We can sing, Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
Clarification. When Brother Branham had his accident, Brother Branham was driving a Ford station wagon. And that station wagon was something that when Brother Branham had bought it, other brothers had bought his old cars. I asked him then if I could buy that station wagon. And he told me yes. So before Brother Branham left Tucson to go back to Jeffersonville, he and I agreed on the price of $1,600. And I was to come back to Jeffersonville while he was there. He was going to preach a sermon which he wasn't going to announce because he wanted me to come back and broadcast it on the telephone hookup so that people during the holidays wouldn't have to come across the country. So when Brother Branham left here, I made preparation to go to Jeffersonville, and he was going to preach a sermon entitled, Unto Us a Son is Given, Unto Us a Child is Born. I found those in his sermon notes when I cleaned out the car. He was going to go back and preach that. Now, that the week before he left, I had preached a sermon in the old tabernacle entitled, Making a Man God. And in there, I had made the statement, just think what it was. Simeon standing there with God in his hands. You ever thought of that? And while I'm preaching that sermon, there's enough people in that building that believe that Brother Branham was God that three times during that sermon, the thought came to me, there he is. And after that service that morning, everybody went outside, and Brother Branham came down front. And he mentioned to me that I had not taken up an offering. And I said, no, sir, I'm going to put a box in the back. So he took out his wallet, and he gave me a $20 bill and said, well, I got to pay my tithes. And he paid me that $20, and I got it in my wallet today. I haven't been broke since then because I had that $20 bill. And he said to me, he said, Brother Green, he said, or Brother Perry, he said, whenever David said, my God, who was that? I said, well, Brother Branham, you've always said that was Jesus. He said, that was the Spirit of Jesus in David. He said, you see, sometimes I have to say things in the first person. It's not me, but it's him. I said, Brother Branham, did you catch something in my spirit this morning? He said, three times. He said, Brother Green, I want you to know. And he put both hands over on my shoulders. He said, Brother Green, don't you ever forget, I'm a Kentuckian.
Amen.
Now, when I tell that to some people, they deny that happened. But Brother Branham put me in that position and told me that the reason that some people don't see it the other way is because they got out of balance and they needed a pastor.
Yes.
I said, well, Brother Branham, you're their pastor. And he looked at me and said, I'm not a pastor. I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to go up in them hills and hear from God and stomp out of there with, thus saith the Lord. But he said, because I love people, they will come to my car. They'll meet me when I come down. Brother Branham, what'd you do? And he said, because I love them, I tell them. And he said, then they run with it. But he said, Brother Green, that's the reason God has sent you here. And so you tell them. And I've told you this before, but I stood there and I counted with my fingers. He said, tell them, tell them, and 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 tell them. And I counted seven times. And that's the reason that I have been so persistent. When I see some of those brothers and I hear them saying these things, I'd say, Brother Branham told me you were wrong. And one of them one time was brave enough. He said, well, Brother Branham told me some things about you too. And I said, they must have been good. He said, why do you say that? I said, because you hate me bad enough that if they were bad, you done told them.
Yeah, right.
But because they were good, you won't tell them.
Hmm.
Folks, it's got to be a miserable thing to be out of balance with the Scriptures.
Amen.
And not to be able to take all the Word.
Yes.
And take all the things Brother Branham said about a subject. You've always got to be figuring how this goes and that goes and everything else when you just believe it.
Right.
And you can say it all.
Yes.
With a clear, clean understanding. And there's a second quote there with that subject I'm talking about. And And you say, this is, sirs, we would see Jesus in 1960, July the 8th. And you say, sir, I would like to see Jesus. I trust tonight with all my heart that he will make himself known among you. Now, how will he do it? The same way he did then, just the same way he did then. He promised it. He said it would be in the last days. We believe this is the last days. The last days signs are appearing everywhere. A lot of people that hear that and they'll say, oh, that was Jesus and Brother Branham. The last day signs are appearing everywhere. The church cooling off and all the things going the way they're going. They come a falling away, all the things that was spoke of. But in that day, he promised those things would take place, and here it is. Did you notice when Jesus was started out in his ministry, how did he begin to not say so much about his day then? He was telling more about his second coming than he was his first advent to the earth. Speaking what this would be in this day.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to challenge you with a thought that maybe you've had it before. We believe that Brother Branham was the fulfillment of Malachi 4.
Yes.
5 and 6. A man with the spirit of Elijah that was sent to turn our hearts back to that of the fathers. And we tie that in with the other scriptures he made about Matthew 17. Truly, Elijah shall first come and restore all things. And then we go over to Revelations and Revelation 10:7. And he's made the seventh messenger of verse 7. Which I can show you where Brother Branham himself says and serves as a time. I'm not sure if this is true or not. And he's asking questions. Could this be? Is this? What do you think? But then people come along before they had the availability of the seventh seal on tape. And they interpreted Revelation 10:7. And they set it up and they made it to where they can't change it. Even if Brother Bram says it some other way.
Yeah.
Now, are you asking me if I don't believe Brother Bram's Revelation 10:7? I believe that the mystery of God has been spoken. Mystery. Now, Brother Branham, in serves as it's a time, he read from Scofield's Bible and called it mysteries. But in Revelation 10:7, he speaks of one mystery as it had been revealed to his servants, the prophets.
Right. Right.
That wasn't just one person, one messenger. And what is it that God spoke out in an audible voice up there in Charlestown in those bluffs up there? Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament. And that's what Moses and Elijah is going to say to the Jews. That's all it takes for the Jews to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. For that revelation to be fulfilled. So, when Brother Branham comes and people want to take, yes, he was Elijah of Malachi 4. But you tell me, how many times does Brother Branham say and repeat his commission on the Ohio River, June 11, 1933? How much detail does he go into explain it? I've got all the quotes. I can tell you how many times he said it. But you know, what did it say? You, your message, will do what? Forerun what? The second coming. Now, Brother Branham, his message, the truth, somebody's interpretation. Now, if Brother Branham was sent to forerun the second coming, I think we ought to see what it was.
Yeah.
You'd say, well, it happened on Sunset Mountain. So much so that some people say, I'm not going to preach anything but the seventh seal or Sunset Mountain or the coming of the Lord. Well, you better be sure you got what Brother Branham said. Because I want you to know that 43 times after February the 28th, Brother Branham said, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you reckon he came and Brother Branham didn't know it? That's the reason I think that it's very important that we know that Brother Branham was not at sunset on February the 28th. He says so himself. So when you want to come along and say, that was the coming of the Lord and this was it. And I think it's also important that we know that when he talks about the face of Jesus in that cloud, he didn't mention that until July of 65. He preaches the seals. He doesn't mention the cloud. But yet, when the seal book is printed, there's a picture of it in there that says, this is the cloud that Brother Branham refers to repeatedly in these series of sermons. And I've read that seal book several times, and I've never heard him mention the cloud in the seals.
Amen.
And when I show this to some brothers, they say, what do you want to talk about that for? We got enough problems as it is. Because I want the truth. I don't want what somebody else thinks about it. I want what the truth is. And when you go to a place like the Congo and you see 200,000 or 300,000 people worshiping the cloud because they have a picture of it where somebody has taken and decoupaged the face of Jesus from Hoffman's picture over and with that cloud, and they think, because they don't know any better, that that's the way the cloud appeared and that's the way Brother Branham saw it. That is man-made. And to me, whoever did that, I think several people did it, but I think that's deception. And somebody's going off into a strong delusion. And I don't feel the least bit guilty in speaking points of clarification about it. Because I'm not ashamed of the truth of what happened in Brother Branham's message. When you can look at Brother Branham's commission, that it will forerun the second coming of the Lord. Now, if you want to take the time and see how many times Brother Branham refers to the three comings, there's a lot of them. And let me see if I wrote one up out here. Let's read quote number four there. And so he come first to redeem his bride. He comes second as a rapture to take away his bride. He comes third with his bride. Now that's Revelation 19. King and queen, after that, that's when many people are expecting the coming. But when he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll just be an absence of people. Well, I'm going to ask, since 1963, has there been an absence? Well, that's one qualification in it. It didn't happen. They'll just be caught away in a moment, and that they just come up missing. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. No one can find them. Anybody heard of that happening?
No.
You're awful quiet. That mean no?
No.
Then this is not the coming Brother Branham talked about. So just be ready for that. It'd be a horrible thing to miss a loved one. No one can find it. Wouldn't it be too bad to know it's done past and you missed it? So just keep before God.
Amen.
Now, the ones that have told me this, and I said, well, no, they haven't. They said, well, it's happened, and you didn't know it. I said, well, neither did you. I'm going to tell you, folks, if it happened, I missed it. I didn't even believe this message in 1963. And most of the people who believe these things, they missed it.
Right. Exactly.
How many of you people believe Brother Brown to be Malachi 4 before February of 63? How many of you? Well, we all missed it. If that's when it happened. People don't want to put that though. Brother Branham said there's three comings. The first one to receive us. I'm sorry. The first one to redeem us. The second one to come after us. And he don't come in a little body with that one. We'll meet him in the air. You know, when you study these quotes, you'll find that Brother Branham taught three distinct quote comings of the Lord. He consistently made reference to three comings from 49 to 64. Spanning nearly his entire ministry. And if you'll read those quotes, you'll find he hardly changes the wording. I think people get confused with the two comings of the Lord in the earth itself, the first and the third. The second coming is in the air, and the Lord does not set foot upon the earth.
Right.
How many of you understand that?
Amen.
That's Brother Branham in Broken Cisterns, the second and third coming. And so he come first to redeem his bride. He comes second as a rapture to take away his bride. He comes third with his bride. King and queen after. That's when many people are expecting the coming. Now that's Revelation 19. And in the Sardis church age, Brother Branham makes a statement about heaven being silent. Well, that's the only identification we've got on the seventh seal. And Brother Branham says the reason it was silent is because there was nobody there. Then we've got all these types about 18 years and half fire and 1,000 years of the day with the Lord and all of this. And people get excited about it. When Brother Branham said it's simply because there's nobody there.
Right.
I can believe that.
Amen.
Where are we? The bride is with him, coming back to set up his millennial kingdom. But when he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. There'll just be an absence of people. They don't know what happened. They'll just be caught away in a moment, and they just come up missing. Change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So just be ready for that. It'd be horrible some morning to miss a loved one. It ain't what we read you?
Right.
How many of you are looking for the catching away?
Amen.
Now I want you to know when you're looking for that, you've got things to look for. A resurrection? The springtime? A translation? A change? And the loved ones in Christ. When you see and you know, there's one of the quotes that Brother Branham said, can you imagine what will happen when you see one of your loved ones? I'm going to tell you, folks, there's going to be a change in your attitude.
Yeah. Amen.
There's going to be a change in our attitude. Some of these things that people think are so important. Let me just ask you. What do you think would happen to Brother Nathaniel Johnson if you were to see Margaret this morning?
Come on. Bye.
Betty, what would happen to you if you saw Harold? How many of you believe that?
Yeah.
How do you think I'd feel if I saw Mom and Dad?
Yeah.
How do you think Sammy would feel if she saw Sammy Dale? Come on, think about someone that you knew that loved the Lord. Sister Vaughn, what about Elroy this morning? Wouldn't suddenly you even have a different sense of values and desires?
Amen.
There's going to be a change.
Amen.
Not just somebody wondering, well, was that it or could that be it or was that it? There ain't going to be no doubt in your mind about it. Remarkably, when you read these quotes about the three comings, Jesus comes three times. They're very similar in their wording and expression from 49 to 65. He doesn't change. In 12 of the 18 quotes, he makes reference to the fact that God or the Bible does things in threes. To some of the quotes, he cites various occurrences of threes in the Bible. In other words, Moses' life cycle and dispensations of grace and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Peter, James, and John. Brother Branham says, keep the mathematics of the Bible correct. Next, he distinguishes the three comings into receive, redeem, and with. In 15 of the 18 quotes, that he states it in this manner. He is clear that Jesus has not come to earth at his second coming. In five of the quotes, he states that we meet Jesus in the air. In four of the quotes, Brother Branham refers to the second coming as the rapture. For the third coming, Brother Branham states in 10 of the quotes that the Bible, or that the bride, comes back with the Lord Jesus to rule and reign.
Amen.
As king and queen. In four of those quotes, he states that the third coming is to set up the millennium. That's Revelation 19.
Amen.
Now, if you've only got two comings, you can't believe this. But if you've got three, then you understand he came to redeem, he's going to come to receive and take us, and third, he's going to come back with us.
Amen.
Then you've got room to put everything Brother Bram said in there. But if you put the second and the third together, or you put the first and the second together, you can't get the Bible or Brother Bram's message or any of his quotes to agree with you. These quotes will be an eye-opener to you if you'll read them, and we'll make them available to you. These quotes, Brother Bram talks about the second coming without tying it into the first coming, you can say. How many of you want to believe the truth?
Yes.
Brother Bram's commission in 1933 was to do what? Forerun the second coming, which is the catching away, the translation, the resurrection, the change, spring of the year. Let me let you read Brother Bram say it. 1963, June the 23rd, it's paragraph 127 and 128. He looked at me kind of strange. Brother Bram is talking about Billy Paul, and they're coming back from British Columbia. We was driving on, so a few minutes, he went back to sleep again, and I was driving along thinking about what could that mean. Driving along right in the road, and all at once, here it come talking again. Now, do you believe that Brother Bram had an audible voice talking to him?
Yeah.
And he said, "Return. Did not I tell you in the beginning to do the work of an evangelist? When I called you down on the river, did not I say, as John the Baptist was sent forth to run the first coming, wasn't John more than a prophet?" Jesus said so himself. "What did you go out to see? A prophet?" Said, "More than a prophet." Now people take that to say, well, he's more than a prophet. He's the Lord. He's reincarnated. But Brother Bram said that John the Baptist was an angel of the covenant. He was a forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. Well, when you study these quotes, you'll find out that Brother Bram talks about, like when Daniel had something, God sent Gabriel. When Mary needed something, God sent Gabriel. Brother Bram said, "Now, I don't know the name of this one." He said to me, he said, "It's a lesser angel." I know people who try to make it something greater than what it is.
Right.
Brother Branham once said it was a lesser angel.
Right.
I believe Brother Branham was a man in the spirit of Elijah, and God gave him a commission to forerun his second coming, and as a result, that makes him a messenger of a covenant that we're to look for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But because Brother Branham said more than a prophet, that don't make him God or deity. If you feel like I'm trying to belittle Brother Branham, I'm just trying to help you get your balance.
Amen.
Look at 1963, December the 29th, on paragraph 52. Now, I want to say this. I've never said it before. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? All the years Brother Branham preached, from 47 up to 63. But according to the Scripture, according to what he said 30 years ago, 33 years ago on the river down there, 1933 river, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world.
Amen.
For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, what was John's commission? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. What was Brother Branham's commission?
Amen.
Preach a message. That will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Let them see that they can be adopted children of God. Become like Jesus Christ. By the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. You can't do that in your own flesh. You can't learn that in a self-improvement class. It takes the Holy Ghost in your life to be present in you to teach you what was, what is, and what will be.
Amen.
And for you to have an understanding of what God sent Brother Branham for, to restore us to the gifts of the Spirit, and so forth, so that we could become adopted sons and daughters of God. And if you don't claim that and believe that, then you can't understand this. So one of the most important things for you to do is to receive the Holy Ghost. And you got no promise of that until you repent and you're baptized. And if you start trying to seek some other evidence other than believe it, then you're seeking and adding a spirit of death to it. I simply say that I believe a lot of people that claim to follow this message have an intellectual knowledge of it. But to understand that it's Jesus Christ in you. Your hope of glory.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, if you substitute him for Jesus Christ, you make him Antichrist. Well, what could you possibly do that would make Brother Branham Antichrist? It's that belief you have that you take and put everything in Brother Branham and you leave nothing for yourself or for anybody else. I could agree with most of these people if they claim for themselves the same thing that God gave Brother Branham. Not a word prophet, not the revelation of the word, not the mysteries, not the discernment, but the life that he promised Brother Branham.
Amen.
Let's look at 1962, June the 1st. The paragraph, 753, paragraph 41. Though you know Jesus is coming, thought he was coming tomorrow, yet you'd want to do something today for those people who are fellow citizens of the kingdom of God to come together. You'd want the fellowship with them, that's right. So if it's this way, now I believe with all my heart that the Lord has helped me and has used me to spearhead a great revival, one of the greatest that's ever struck the world since the early days across the world. We know that. That's right, it was all gone at that time, and he met me down there on the river and told me that the message that I had would forerun the second coming of Christ. And I suppose there's nobody here tonight that was down there that day. That's been about 32 years ago when that light appeared and standing there, me looking right at it, and hundreds of people standing here looking at it. It come right down and that voice spoke. Years later, strange that the camera takes the same picture, looks the same thing, just exactly what I told you there on the river. Now, I may be mistaken in a lot of things, brethren, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be honest and straight with you. Over 40 times after Brother Branham preaches the seals, he says, "I am looking for the coming of the Lord." We need a change.
Amen.
Two scriptures. Philippians 3:21. I think I read this to you at the beginning. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto this glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." 1 Corinthians 15:53. "For this corruptible"
Amen.
"must put on incorruption,
Amen.
And this mortal must put on immortality."
Amen.
Two quotes in closing. 1965, April the 27th, paragraph 124. "Now in this hour, this great crisis is on. Well, we know that this nation is shaking. Not only the nation, but the world is shaking. And if Brother Branham said that in 65, what about today?
Yes.
It's at the end time. Listen to this. There is not another thing that I know to happen but the rapture. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's already.
Yes.
And the last one. We had a telephone hookup, and here's Brother Branham's greetings. 65, July the 25th in Jeffersonville. We send greetings from the East Coast to the West to all our friends in Christ who's listening in. We send greetings over in San Jose, Brother Borders, the group up there. We send greetings up in the mountains, Prescott, Arizona, to Brother Leo Mercer and his group that's up there waiting for the coming of the Lord. Doing what? We send greetings to those in Tucson that's gathered together. Doing what?
Waiting for the coming of the Lord.
Down into Houston, Texas, to those who are
waiting for the coming of the Lord.
Up in Chicago, to those up on the East Coast, New York and Connecticut, and the groups up there, that's
waiting for the coming of the Lord.
We don't have room here to seat them, so we just have to send them the word through the medium of the telephone. We send greetings to Brother Junior Jackson and I and his group down in Clarksville. Brother Ruddle up on 62 and his group. Doing what?
Waiting for the
Amen. And we're gathered here tonight at the home church, the Tabernacle.
Hallelujah. Lord.
Tucson Tabernacle on October the 10th, 2009. When you go home this afternoon, when you wake up in the morning, if he hasn't come,
wait for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Be ye also ready.
Amen.
Not weekly, not daily, not hourly, but every minute.
Amen.
Waiting for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Now we sing the old song. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. He's coming after us. There's going to be a catching away. There's going to be a resurrection.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. It's promised. By faith, I believe it. It's happened. There's going to be a resurrection. By faith, I believe it. It's happened.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be changed.
Amen.
It's happened.
Yeah.
I'm a new creation.
Hallelujah.
I've been changed.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
It's happened.
Amen.
I believe it. It's a prophecy of God.
Amen.
It's as good as done.
Amen.
But that day will come when this whole world will never hold me. Any moment,
yes,
I'll be gone.
Hallelujah.
Where I've made my reservation.
Yes.
Message, my wedding garment.
Amen.
Fits pretty good.
Amen.
I feel like I got it sewed up right.
Yes.
Feel like I got the buttons in the right position.
Yes, sir.
I haven't got the coat on backwards. The tie wrapped around my forehead instead of my neck.
Come on.
My shoes fit me.
Amen.
My socks feel comfortable. I feel as well dressed as Jeff Smith. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the privilege to serve you and to know you. Lord, how many people do I meet every time I go out that they don't know what you've done? And Lord, some that's had an opportunity to hear it for 40 years and they've got it so scrupled up, as Brother Branham would say, that they can't even remember from this week to next what they do believe about it. But Lord, you gave us enough about it. You revealed enough of it by Brother Branham's teachings and example in life that we know someday there's going to be a trumpet. Going to be a blast of the Spirit of God. So much so that the dead will raise. And those of us that are looking for your coming will see them. And it would be so inspiring that all these petty things, these unimportant things, will mean nothing to us anymore. And this old world won't be able to hold us. We'll have faith like Enoch. We'll just walk off of this earth. And every step we take up with you, there'll be a change in our bodies. Whatever aches and pains and trials and troubles we struggle with, the troubles, the worries, the nervousness, it'll all fall away. Because we know we're going into your presence, literally, where we'll see you. And we'll be so happy, we'll be weeping. Tears will be running out of our eyes and dropping off our chins. And you'll wipe our tears away. And there'll be no more sorrow. Even those that are left behind, we'll be in such joy, such ecstasy, that pain of them missing it. But Lord, those who are left behind will go through a time of tribulation, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that won't end until their annihilation. I'd say like John the Revelator when he saw all the great things that there was. The Spirit, the Bride, the Prophet, the Word. To me today all says, come, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
May we all in our hearts say, come, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Even so, come quickly. Let us be a faithful witness to that last one. Lord, I believe there's many. Many. I got faith to believe for thousands, Lord. Because I don't have any feeling of exclusiveness or monopoly. I believe your grace is sufficient to save all who call upon your name. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You say amen?
Amen.
Make me more like thee, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to live. listen to me. I just felt in my spirit the Lord told me to tell you, you're going to be all right, darling. You're going to find yourself getting stronger. You just accept it this morning, baby. If you have any confidence at all in the things that God tells your husband, I just felt that quickened in my heart. It's not me. I've desired that for a long time, but I haven't said it. But just now, I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. Thank you, Lord, for saving. Stepped out, I was fixing to tell all of you that whatever you need today, you believe God for it right now. Because there's no need for a sick or a crippled or a maimed one to leave here. That sickness cannot stay where there's faith present. And I believe right now I feel the faith level here. The Brother Brown said, I don't see the Milky Way, but I know your faith is there right now. Now, if you believe that, right now you say amen. And when you leave here, you just praise God for it. You continue to praise Him for it. Don't let that spirit come back to doubts or anything else. Just go and be made whole. Right now you're delivered. Right now you're free. Right now every one of you is healed. The evil spirits departed. Thank you. I can feel in my spirit that there's people here that they want a touch from you, Lord, spiritually in the Holy Ghost in their life. Lord, let it burn today. Let it burn in our hearts. Let anybody who has any doubt whether they have the Holy Ghost or not believe that they've obeyed your word, they've repented, they've been baptized, and your word says they shall receive the Holy Ghost. Peter didn't change it. Paul didn't change it. Brother Branham didn't change it. Anybody who adds to that, Lord, they're a false prophet. But if they've repented, they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let them understand that, Lord, and grab that in their heart and hang on to it. Burn, Holy Spirit. Burn, Holy Spirit. Burn in me. God said that He'd give you the desire of your heart. Stefan, I've seen your spiritual growth for the last two visits to Germany. And Brother Green wants you to come here this morning, because with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life, son, victory is yours.
Amen.
Come here and let Brother Green. You love me. You have confidence in me. And I wouldn't do this, son, if I didn't feel this in my heart. But I'm going to ask God to feed you with the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord Jesus, grant the desire of this man's heart. He wants to be changed. He's been to the bottom and he's on his way up. But Lord, it's hard for him to believe that you can do that for him. But today, oh God, plant the faith in his heart. That such as I have, give out a Stephon this morning. Let him have the confidence in what your word says he can have and what he can be. He knows what your word says. He knows what your prophet says. He knows what I believe about him. So God, let him believe it about himself today. In Jesus' name. You going to receive it? I know you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, you refuse to believe that God could do that for you, son. All right, fine. That's all I want to hear you say. You go away saying, Lord, I believe you fill me with the Holy Ghost. Just go away saying it. If you can't say it out loud, say it in your heart. You get to where you can say it out loud. I'm a son of God. I'm different. I'm changed. I'm a new creation. God bless you. One thing about it, I have to look up to you anyway. God bless you. Betty, you wanted prayer. Let's everybody pray for him. Lord Jesus, come and be with our sister Marconda today, Lord. Her heart is lonely, oh God, and she sometimes with her health she feels lonely. But Lord, last Sunday she told me she'd like to go to Israel, and I told her to come go with me. I feel the love from her today, Lord, and I believe it's because you love her too, Lord. Touch her body, Lord, and put some youth back in her step. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Frank. You need a touch this morning? Okay. Well, you want me to touch him, or you believe God can touch him, huh? Such as I have, give out to you, brother, in the name of the Lord. It's all right. Speak in tongues if you feel like it, Frank. I believe in speaking in tongues. Okay. God bless you. Blessed be his name.
Hallelujah.
You believe that, brother?
Amen.
Amen. Good. I like to hear that. Amen. God bless you, Brother Willie. Brother Willie, how long have you been believing the Lord and the Holy Ghost? Longer than I've been alive, almost, ain't you? God bless. I don't ever think of you, Brother Willie. I don't think of Brother Gacciola in Mexico. God had you as roommate for some reason, and God made he and I friends, you know. And I don't ever think of him. I don't think of you, too. So, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You boys got the victory today?
Amen.
All right, good. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Father, I appreciate you. God bless you as you go. 5 o'clock tonight. Blessed be his name.